Maynooth University, 25 kilometers outside of Dublin. I am joined by Judy Dempsey of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, based in Berlin, but now traveling to this university to meet with and speak to the students of a very large, beautiful campus. So before we begin our discussion about, is the EU adequate to the needs of the eastern part of Europe, the front line now against the Russian aggression in Ukraine, and so much more about the energy picture into the future, I want to begin with where Judy is, Ireland. Judy, a very good evening to you. Thank you. Maynooth University, please introduce it to my audience, because while it's old, it's also new. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thank you very much for having me on your show and for once being Irish and coming from and speaking from Ireland. So Maynooth actually used to be the capital of Ireland many centuries ago, and it changed hands when the English colonized Ireland, and then it was under the Fitzgeralds, a great clan here. And then it passed into a kind of quietness, and the seminary was built here, beautiful grey granite building, absolutely beautiful. And as Ireland became more secular, the seminary and seminarians decreased in number. And there was a wonderful idea to turn this wonderful seminary complex into a university, which happened a quarter of a century ago, and it's just thriving. 8,000 students from all over the world studying humanities, the arts, music, sustainability, the sciences, you name it, it's there. Chinese, Spanish, French, and it's a thriving university, and it's great to be back where, to a place where I actually close by grew up.
Yes, the campus is gorgeous. I take it this is a mix of the seminary buildings were all renovated, plus a lot of new architecture divided into north and south campus. And what I especially like about reading the website, Judy, is that all the themes are completely different from the themes of my time 50 years ago in university. There's been a complete transformation of the focus of the young foci of the young people. Do you find the same thing, that it's like going to university again to read what they're interested in?
The bedrock is still there, the humanities and the sciences, which is very important for our understanding of the world and the universality of values. But the world is not static, and new challenges come, particularly climate change, sustainability, green energy, renewable energy, how to make the sciences adapt to the changing environment of the 21st century. And all these subjects are now available as the combination of the humanities, the combination of the new 21st century subjects that are absolutely needed.
Let us begin then with your conversation with your colleagues about the crisis in Europe ever since, well, really since the failure of the Soviet Union and the what we now understand the years of resentment, revenge, and imperialism practiced by elements of the Russian Federation. You ask your colleagues the stimulating and challenging question, is the EU doing enough for Eastern Europe? We best, Judy, because we're not Europeans here, we best define what Eastern Europe means to the EU. These are the countries that were, generally speaking, under the Soviet boot. Is that Eastern Europe?
No. Eastern Europe used to be actually the Central Europeans, the Poles and the Slovaks, the Czechs, the Romanians, the Bulgarians, Lithuania, Estonia and Latvia. All these countries are now members of NATO and the EU. And what's left are very, very important countries who are going through very difficult times. They are Georgia, Moldova, Armenia, Belarus, Ukraine, and closer to Central Asia, Azerbaijan. But it's those five, Georgia, Moldova, Ukraine, and Belarus, and
Armenia,
which are Eastern Europe.
I see. Well, let us begin then. Are they doing enough? It's an easy answer. No, not enough. However, I begin with Professor O'Brennan of Maynooth, who notes that integrating Moldova, Georgia, Ukraine, and Armenia are challenges because they need trade, they need energy, and they need help pushing back on Russian influence operation. Is all that in discussion in Brussels, what they need in order to be successfully integrated into the EU in future?
The discussion in Brussels is so detailed and complex and multifaceted. It's focused on Ukraine, supplying them now with weapons. It's focused on internal matters, a big row between France and Germany over renewable, meeting renewable energy targets. But the EU, to be fair, is doing quite a lot to help Moldova overcome its energy crisis. It's been subject to huge blackmail from Russia because it used to be dependent on Russian gas. But there is an awareness that the European Union, as an organisation, the member states have to do much more, not to create a cordon sanitaire, a new kind of iron curtain between today's Europe and having these countries sandwiched between Russia and Europe.
Your colleague Anton Radniaku, director of the Center for New Ideas in Minsk, talks of the Eastern Partnership. What is that, Judy?
The Eastern Partnership was devised several years ago by the European Union. Ways to actually reach out to this Eastern Partnership, these countries that I mentioned, offering them some kind of trade concessions, some political contracts, social contracts, investment for infrastructure, training, and so on, but nothing about EU membership. But it was essentially trying to create a kind of special rapport with these countries, but actually it hasn't gone far enough because what it didn't do is to recognize the huge potential insecurity and instability of these countries, particularly after Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
I went to Minsk, the director of the Center for New Ideas, because I was witness to the protests of the Belarusians who are in the diaspora in New York City in the summer of 2020, is my memory. And it was quite surprising to me to see all these very handsome young people with their baby carriages patrolling up and down in front of the legation in New York. This is the just east of Grand Central Station. And I'd never focused on Belarus as a state with ambitions to be a European participant. And what's happened since then is Belarus has disappeared under the boot of Lukashenko, who was under the boot of Vladimir Putin. And the Minsk, according to this report, dropped out of the Eastern Partnership. Are there still connections to the institutions in Minsk between Brussels, or has that been all cut off by the authorities?
They've been mostly cut off by the authorities. Indeed, the EU's ambassador, the European Union's External Services ambassador to Minsk, was effectively kicked out. There are very few European ambassadors now inside Minsk, which is a terrible shame. And somehow, I think there's an unspoken feeling in the EU that nothing can be done with Belarus until the war in Ukraine is over, and indeed until Putin goes. If Putin stays, the EU has very little chance with Belarus, and Lukashenko will remain as the dictator of Belarus. If Putin fails, Lukashenko loses everything. He's in a very, very ambiguous situation, but the civil society, the opposition, they're just in jail and prison, long sentences, no judiciary, no rule of law, nothing is left. It's very, very depressing.
The persecution of the dissenters. So we should regard Belarus then as outside of the reach of the European Union for now. The Iron Curtain has descended on the border. Is that a way of thinking of it?
Well, we have to be quite careful of this, because the diaspora is very much alive in neighboring Lithuania and Poland. And Poland has done a huge amount with a special Belsat satellite, Belarusian language television that beams into Belarus. I mean, it's very, very difficult, but these neighboring countries haven't forgotten Belarus, and they try to help what remains of civil society. But to write off Belarus and make it part of the beginning of the Iron Curtain would be to admit defeat of the whole European policy towards its eastern neighborhood.
We're speaking with Judy Dempsey of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She's the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. She lives in Berlin. She's now traveling. She's in County Kildare, I've learned from Judy, 25 kilometers outside of Dublin at Maynooth University. And we're speaking of the question that Judy put to her colleagues all across Europe. Is the EU doing enough for Eastern Europe? And when we come back, it's not just not enough. What needs to be done? What does Europe offer, the EU offer, these these countries that want to be integrated into the European values, but right now are challenged by the Russian bear and the imperial ambitions of a few people in the Kremlin. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.